Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, you'll get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Hey, what's up, and welcome to the Hashtag Lakers podcast, presented by betonline.ag and balance7.com. I'm Yola Gaza, and today I'm joined by McKay Westbrook. And today we have, again, on the show, JJ Rivera and Kenneth Wilson of the 305 Culture podcast, covering the Miami Heat. They've done our player preview for Kendrick Nunn on our previous episode. Now they're going to help us do a player preview for Trevor Ariza, who played on their team, for half the season, I believe. Right. If you haven't listened to that Kendrick Nunn, episode, give it a listen. It was a good one. So anyway, let's talk about, Trevor Ariza, guys. Let's talk about his performance last season with the Heat. I know he sort of bounced around in the off season, and then got bounced again from OKC to Miami. After that, we can talk about how he sort of fits alongside this new Lakers squad. Just a similar thing what we did with Kendrick Nunn, right? We'll talk about his fit with the team, his role and expectations. Let's go ahead and talk about how he performed last year and maybe the season prior to that.
I think he was mostly fine. He was our starting power forward for most of the season, trying to fill that Jay Crowder size void that the Heat were looking to fill after he left in the previous offseason. And I didn't expect much of him. He didn't contribute exactly like Jay Crowder, although that would be pretty hard to replicate given that Crowder was outstanding for us the previous season during our finals run. But he was adequate. He wasn't a particularly great shooter. Jay Crowder wasn't either, except for that Milwaukee series. But he moved his feet. He was in the right position defensively. He was well conditioned when he got here. And, he could bang around with some of the power forwards in the league, and sometimes guarding head on the best opposing wing. And, sometimes he was adequate. That's what I would call him. Have him spot up in the corner for some open threes off Westbrook and LeBron drives, which they're going to generate a lot of wide open corner 3-point looks. So I think that he's a solid pickup for you guys.
I mean, I can't disagree at all when you think of the definition of a, solid vet that knows his role as Trevor Ariza, but you definitely have to say he's a solid vet plus. He's not only a guy that can come in and know his role, but he's actually a guy that can come in and make a vast impact on both sides. As JJ alluded to, he didn't quite have the Jay Crowder size impact, but I think that was a volume and time thing. Although he did play 30 games or so with us after coming over from OKC and not playing all year, you do have to give him applause, as JJ said, for being in good shape when he got here. But basically, it was just a thing where Jay Crowder had a chance, I believe, to get a little bit more entrenched. And he took two more 3-point shots per game than Trevor Ariza did when he was here, but he also made about 1.5 more if you want to round up. But I'll say this to say that if you put Trevor and Ariza in a position to hit shots for you and hit big shots, he can do that. If I had to look at one negative at about where he is now, and I don't know if this was a, you know, product of not playing as much last season, only about half the season, just under, his finishing at the rim isn't what it used to be, per se. Of course, he doesn't have the athleticism to go over the top anymore, but it's just that it seems when he gets to the rim, he gets a little timid and not the Trevor Ariza we're used to seeing. And I don't know if that's a product of how long he actually played last season or if that's just his game now. But again, as JJ alluded to, he can defend still four positions even now, because he's been playing a little more stretch four lately in this new league, and we certainly played him there. And he guarded 1-4 for us at times last season. So you're still going to get that elite-ish wing defender. I'm not going to show if I'm going to put him at the top of the top elite as he was, but still close enough to elite to make a vast impact on that side. And then, like I said, he'll knock down big shots for you. So as much as, again, as I hate to mention it, as I alluded to in the last episode about Kendrick Nunn, you made a good pickup, and I hate to say it.
Hey, Trevor Ariza has been in the league a long time. And when I say a long time, I mean almost as long as LeBron James long. He's been around. He's done a lot of good things for the NBA. You know, he's a role player. He's a piece. He's not going to be one of your stars. He's not going to go out there and be somebody that, you know, stands out spectacularly. But he's going to go out there and he's going to go and get his job done. There's such a high turnover of players in the league, and you know, there just has to be with so much new talent always coming in and the league evolving and people getting better. And when you see somebody who's been in the league for a long time, it's because they have value. You know, they're kept around because teams recognize that they can go out there and provide that value. Trevor Ariza, you know, he was on the Lakers during one of the championship years back in 09. I think that'll bring a little sentimental value with him back to the Lakers. He was always a very good defender. I remember that was one of the things that I really liked about him. He was a pretty decent 3-point shot. He was able to hit down there in the corner. I think he's able to excel when he's got those stars around him, because it pulls away some of that attention that he would have normally gotten. He's just been consistent throughout his career, and that's one of the things that I really respect about him. And in a lot of our other podcasts, we've had discussions about some of our players, how they absolutely drive us crazy because they're not consistent. Players like Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green, who can absolutely tear it up for you, but at times they're not consistent. But I think Trevor Ariza is one of those guys who's gritty. He's going to get out there. He's going to be a great defender for you. He's going to get the job done that you need him to, night in, night out, like an Alex Caruso. You know, you go and you look at their stats and they may not be the best, and people are like, well, you know, what do you see in these types of players? But it's some of those intangibles that are out there too, that they can just go out there and perform. They can fit in with your team and they can get it done. And you know, that's kind of what I'm looking forward to with Trevor Ariza. He was one of my favorite players on that 09 squad, and I'm hoping he continues to perform 16-17 years into the league on this Lakers squad, and hopefully we can get him another ring.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. That would be great to add another a ring to Trevor Ariza's resume. It's a big resume too, like you said, spanning back from 2004. And one of the things that amazes me about Trevor Ariza is how, and you guys have alluded to this, is how he sort of evolved from his rookie season all the way till now. And it might be because of age, but I think it's mostly because of how the NBA has changed. I want to talk about his percentage of field goal attempts by distance in particular. Back in 2004, his rookie season, he shot 48% at least 3 feet by the rim, 48%, and shot 3% at the 3-point line. And this last season, he shot 28% at the rim. He only knocked down 60% of those shots, which is still pretty good. But at the 3-point spot, he shot 59%. You know, that's over half of his shots coming at the 3-point, beyond the 3-point line. And I guess that's because of the role that he's taken, and that's because of how the game is played now. He's really great. He shot at 35%, like you said, Kenneth, from three last season, which is still pretty good. It's a little below league average, but not by much. I think it's at or just a little bit below league average. But what I want to talk about is that nearly 85% of his 3-point shots were catch and shoot. 85%, nearly 85% of them, and he went above the league average on that. It's 37% from catch and shoot. So that's pretty good. It's a pretty good addition to what we're trying to do here. And I think what the Lakers are really trying to do here is, you have Russ, you have AD, you have LeBron, you can do that with Kendrick Nunn, you can do it with THT, someone who can penetrate to the rim, collapse the defense, have shooters that are open. And that would be Trevor Ariza. That would be his role, to be someone who's sitting at the corner or at the elbow, and he'll be respected. You know, he'll open the space and make good on his 3-point shot. Hopefully he'll be more consistent than, like McKay alluded to, more consistent than the players that he mentioned, like Kuzma and Danny Green. But we'll see. We'll see what he does. I do know that he's been working out. I've seen a few off-season clips that him shooting the three, and he's working out, and he's enjoying his time back in LA. I don't know if you follow him on Instagram. He's in his car. I think it might be like a Land Rover, but anyway, he's just rocking out, dude. He's rocking out to the music. He loves being back in LA.
Hey, he's and it's awesome. I think the Lakers and the fans love it when players buy in, and when they want to come and join the Laker culture. It's fun down here. But we expect greatness, and I like those people that don't shy away from the lights. From what I remember from Trevor Ariza, he was fairly automatic when he got over in that far corner. And I really hope that he can continue to keep that up. As players get older, their legs start to fail him a little bit. I hope he's able to keep his sea legs fit and ready to go. But I think he'll come in and perform the role that we want him to. Well, we've got so many different weapons on this Lakers squad. I think we've made our team pretty well rounded for the most part. And he's just going to fit in perfectly.
I don't know if you've heard, but apparently former NBA player and Laker legend Lamar Odom may be returning to professional basketball in Spain soon. I was reading this press release about how he started taking a pH-balancing alkaline supplement called Balance 7, and that's what's really helped him bounce back. He even said, quote, "I have an enormous amount of energy, which is good for me. It's important when working out. I always need energy to level up," close quote. I couldn't agree more with Lamar. And after watching him fight Aaron Carter in July's celebrity boxing match, I think it's safe to say that Balance 7 is working out for him. Cool thing is that we've got a promotion running with Balance 7 right now, where if you go to their website, balance7.com, and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, at checkout, you'll receive a free 4-ounce bottle of
my smooth skin with any purchase of Valens 7 products. That product retails at $13.99, so I'd say it's worth it. Again, head to Valens7.com and use promo code BLEAV at checkout to get in on this promotion. If it worked for him, I'm sure it can work for you.
I want to talk a little bit about his defense, because you guys, Kenneth, I think you had mentioned his defense a little bit, and Jay, I believe you did as well. I want to talk about him. He started for you guys at some point. Was he? And some people have been saying that he was one of your best point of attack defenders. Is that true? I mean, he's had to guard a few, at his position. Like you said, Kenneth, like from 1 to 4, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving. I know. I've seen some of those clips where he's guarded even Kemba Walker, Rozier, Chris Paul, right? Like small guards, and then people his size at the 4. So I want to talk about that.
Not only point of attack, I would say he was still one of the best outside of Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. He was probably, you know, one of the best overall defenders. He doesn't have a weakness defensively. From a point of attack perspective, from a help side perspective, from a far side perspective, you can always count on Trevor Ariza to be in position. And I think that's one of the things, as McKay mentioned, his consistency, and you yearn for that consistency. And I guess everybody has mentioned it in some form or some fashion, but you can always count on him to be there. You can close your eyes, make your rotation, run out till you got. And when you open your eyes, you know where Trevor Ariza is going to be on every play. And I think that's huge.
Exactly. I mean, point of attack, defender, one of our best. Again, as Kenneth mentioned, probably right below Bam or Jimmy, who are two of the top defenders in the league. So can't complain about that. So he fit like a glove to our switching defense scheme. I don't know if the Lakers run a switch heavy scheme as much as we do. I'm inclined to disagree. I don't think they do, but still, given that we run a switch heavy scheme, and I mean a switch heavy that sometimes had, which left us with some weakness in the basket sometimes, because that left some of the little guys on the big guys, and sometimes that created a problem. But that's a topic for another day. But I really want to focus on Trevor. He was really good. His intellect on defense, knowing where to be, those long arms, he'll poke a pass or two, stick his hand in the cookie jar, and maybe take the ball away from some guy. Although he's smart enough to know not to stick the hand in the cookie jar against the elite of the elite ball handlers like Kyrie Irving or Stephen Curry. But he can hold his own against those guys in the perimeter as well as you can, being guarding those guys.
Right. I you know, just thinking about this, just thinking about our roster, I think he's going to be great for one of the young guys that I'm really excited about. And obviously we're not going to talk about him on this pod, but Malik Monk. I think he's going to be a great mentor for him. Malik has shown a little promise on defense. And I think some of that defensive acumen and intellect and IQ can rub off of a person like Malik Monk. I'm excited to have Trevor Ariza on our team again. And maybe this is the year. I know you guys don't want that. I know you guys have hopes for a championship this season, getting past the Bucks and getting past the Nets. It'd be great to have Trevor Ariza getting another championship with the Lakers, along with a lot of the players that have come back to the Lakers, like Dwight Howard.
It'd be great for PJ Tucker to get a second straight championship as well.
That's true.
Absolutely. And I know you didn't want to talk about Malik Monk, but I don't know if we're not the right guys. I mean, he did just go 9 of 13 for like 35 or 36 points of us, but we don't want to talk about that either.
Against you guys. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. It was against the Heat.
Yeah. We don't want to talk about that either. Calm down.
You mentioned it.
Sore subject.
Trauma. I couldn't help but mention it.
That game was one of those games last season where I just threw my hands up in the air and what the hell is this season, really? Because random guys going off against us. Malik Monk, a guy that suddenly he turned into prime Ray Allen in the game. And so, oh man, that was tough to watch.
Look, we had a couple of those games too, where some random person, obviously he's in the NBA, he's one of the top 400 players in the world, but you know, some role player on a team completely destroyed us. And it was, you know, that happens to Lakers a lot, honestly. but I mean, getting back to Trevor Ariza, again, I'm excited to have him on the team. Looking forward to him suiting up again. I guess we don't know his number yet, right? Okay. I don't know if we do.
I haven't heard anything about his number. I don't even know. I haven't heard whether or not LeBron's officially going to switch his number back.
I know they tried to do that. I think he is. So
yeah, they tried to do that last season, but it got that got put to rest because they didn't do it with enough notice. Right. So I don't know what numbers are going to look like.
That LeBron number six jersey number with James in the back, that belongs to us.
It's sacred.
Sorry. We're taking it.
And Nike did put the kaput on the Switch last year because they already had too much merchandise with the 2-3 on it. But I do think it's official this year that he's switching back.
Exactly.
Six, begrudgingly.
Hey, I hope he can channel some of that inner Heat.
Yeah,
days.
Man.
And
approach him blasphemy. Okay?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm just coming at it from what I think his perspective probably is. You know, when people change their numbers, especially, you know, these big stars, it's not for nothing. You know, they do it for a reason. I hope so. LeBron James has managed to fight Father Time up till this point. We'll see, you know.
It's definitely that, man. He's channeling something, and you'll see it pop up all season long, and it's already started because in the last week or so, I don't know if you – well, of course you got, Sarge. You cover the Lakers, where he kind of, clapped back at the people that in the preseason poll, he feels snubbed. And that's just LeBron. When you're talking about meaning and players, LeBron is at the peak of that because everything is symbolic to him. And again, I know we're here talking about Trevor Ariza, but you're going to have us to come back to unpack LeBron because we could do that all day too.
We can. Maybe we'll get some Heat, some Cavs experts and just put it all together and talk about how LeBron has evolved. I don't know. That could be a good episode. And, but anyway, yeah, I think that does it for today, guys. Guys, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other listening platforms. Do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate the follows and all the reviews. It'll help us continue to produce the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at #LakerPod and on Instagram at #Lakers. Guys, with that said, have a great day, root for the Lakers, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Root for the Lakers.
Just in our face like that? Just...
No, well, not us. Not us.
I hope nobody's seeing this, JJ.
we're gonna have to answer some questions to the Miami Heat fan council.
Oh, you know that fan council. You know that fan council don't play.
Hey, I think one of the subjects that we're gonna have to bring up in that LeBron episode is which of those championships is the most meaningful?
I think it's 2016. I think he's already answered it.
I like to stir the pot.
The first one in his entire career. None of the other ones happened without that one.
I'm just joking. That was his first one. The first one is always special, dude.
I mean, I don't know. 2012 was really important because that's when he got over the hump.
I hate to say it again, man. I'm going to go 2012, 2016.
No, I respect that. I respect that.
Us was his first one. He had to learn how to win. He took the one back to Cleveland and then, got you guys.
I'm going to say 2016. I'm going to say 2016 first because of the achievement. It's probably the greatest achievement
and that's very fair.
Any NBA player has ever had.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he said that before. I think 2016 was his favorite. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he didn't say that. Maybe a reporter said that he said that.
It's also his hometown. He's going to say it.
Absolutely. And that's why I say very fair. But I got to ask you all guys a question. All LeBron guys, we've all had our turn, so to speak. Does he ever learn to win if he doesn't go to Miami? I mean, I'm sure he gets with somebody else and maybe wins one if he goes to another team that has another superstar. Does he become this LeBron if he never goes to Miami? There's a bunch of questions.
What if he goes to the Knicks? He and Wade, when Wade was with a free agent of his own, I do know they both have meetings with the Knicks and the Bulls. So I don't know. I don't know if either with Chicago or New York that he, LeBron, because Wade already had his ring.
Wade was Wade already.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think those years were pretty important for him, but I think the 2020 championship was pretty significant for him just because everybody was like, LeBron can't win in the West. You know, he had been in the East for his entire career pretty much and had been to the finals so many times that, there's a lot of LeBron haters out there. You know how it is. Yeah. But I think because he was able to come out and win in the West, and so quickly, I think that just for that reason, that was pretty significant. But I probably would agree with you about
also the finals losses. I wouldn't just call them his fault, except for that 2011 one, which to this day it's a pain. But
hey, they smoked.
We're not going to talk about that. Well,
they smoked us that year too.
Miami, so much of a pain Nigeria, down here
in my home country because one of my Puerto Rican.
JJ Barea.
Well, JJ Barea got a ring, so I'll doesn't hurt as much as a Puerto Rican. However, as a Heat fan, it hurts a lot. But however,
and I mean, if you're a big star, a mega star, like your LeBrons, your Kareems, your Magics, your Kobe's, your Shaq's, winning with the Lakers means something else. And again, I hate to admit this, I'm patting you guys on the back. What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
You're still recording, right, y'all?
Yeah, no, they're never gonna forgive me.
Maybe put this as an outtake.
I mean, it's winning with the Lakers just means something different, man. Like, and I hate to say it, but it's huge. So anytime you have a star, it's like if Michael Jordan had got a title with the Lakers. You know what I mean? What would the world be like? And though in the bubble, LeBron did that. And why are we having this conversation when you shouldn't look at it like that, but it's a conversation, and that's because it was with the Lakers. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you something. If Jordan ever played with the Lakers, we would have three Space Jams. No, no one.
Still be making them. Yeah. Like Uncle Drew going through the rabbit hole.
Because, man, that would be the ultimate money-making machine.
but you see that, though? Like, just that and the machine that's behind that. If you don't think that added juice to this whole Space Jam, you know what I mean? Like, it's just because it's the Lakers, man. Something about you guys. Tinseltown, I'll tell you.
And they burned in two really great books about your team. I bought them both recently. I'm waiting for them to get here.
Leave it to this guy to mention the really great books.
Hey, I love reading. I love a good book.
I've
also been reading the Giannis book, which is also really good.
I've been meaning to get that book and read it, man.
Yeah, I heard she really did her thing with that one. Fader, right?
Yeah, man.
I heard she really did her thing with that one.
Yeah, she's man. New York Times bestseller. I got to go read it.
Yeah, I've been reading it around page 230. Really good stuff there. And, goes from Giannis being dirt poor, and I mean dirt poor, like poor guys sometimes didn't even know if they had money to buy food that day. So to him, right now, the place where...
Are you crying, JJ?
No, my eye is itchy.
There's no crying in baseball.
That moved him to tears.
No. But all jokes aside, you know, when going from dirt team starts with him being so poor that he could barely afford food or a place to live, to right now the part where he signed his first extension, and you know how that meant, what that meant to his family and to him. So yeah. It's really good. I definitely recommend it. And also, I'll be reading Showtime, which is being adapted into an HBO series. And
yeah.
You know, if HBO is involved, that's going to be high quality.
And is Brody
playing Pat Riley?
He's still playing Pat Riley, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's always so much changeover. I just want to make sure, because I'm really looking forward to his portrayal of the Godfather.
Oh, that's some good casting, man. Because
you know it's gonna be.
Oh my God, we share him too. We should do a Godfather episode. No, we should. Yeah, I don't want to talk to you guys anymore.
Well, we gotta get some Knicks fans, and I don't know if. Well,
do we really?
No. What are Knicks fans? No, I'm kidding.
We were talking about that earlier today too. This is small little.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I also forgot about that. We did share Pat Riley.
Yeah, yep. Man. Yeah, man. He grew up here. Right. He earned his medal here, dude.
Don't let Pat Riley hear you say that.
Nah, he earned his medal here.
I agree with you, but he don't want to hear that.
Oh, he wants to hear it because he knows it deep down. He knows it.
I think if he had to choose between the Knicks and the Lakers, he's always going to choose the Lakers with his time.
1,000%. Yeah, there. I agree. Yeah.
Coaching probably one of the four greatest players of all time and building
the birth of the slickback, man.
Yeah.
Pat Riley, man, good guy,
winner.
Yeah,
I don't know him personally. Super classic. I don't know if I would call him a great guy because I don't know him personally, but I do know he's a winner.
We can say this: he's a great basketball guy.
Yes,
that is true. We can say that.
That's true. I mean, from coaching to G.
Oh,
I mean,
he's freaking King Midas.
Doing everything right.
Whatever he touches, everything.
I mean, the guy. What he coached. Kareem, Magic, Patrick.
I mean, that
Ewing.
Doesn't hurt either. That doesn't hurt either. That's those guys.
Patrick
that
Ewing.
That doesn't hurt.
Drafted Dwayne Wade.
Whew. Signed LeBron. I mean, signed LeBron. Reminded Jimmy Butler for two peanuts and a stick of chewing gum. I mean, you know. Well,
Jimmy wanted to go there though.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but we've had this discussion too. Like two things that are cardinal rules in the NBA. If there's a guy, like a guy, Giannis, Joel Embiid when he's playing, you know, a guy, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. And two things, I don't give a damn about free agency and the CBA. If a guy wants to go somewhere, he's going to get there. That's just how it works.
I mean, we saw it with the Westbrook trade.
Absolutely.
I mean, Anthony Davis did it too.
Exactly. We saw it with Kyle Lowry. Yeah. We knew for 2 years he wanted to be in Miami. And that's why you still got Griffin down there in New Orleans filing tampering cases right now.
Yeah, well. Nobody cares about New Orleans, really. It's there's a basketball.
Or the tampering. Nobody cares about the tampering in the NBA world.
You know what? You guys would say that. No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kenneth, we can't talk. You know that.
I know. That's what makes it fun.
I mean, everyone does it. It's just everyone blames it on the Lakers. Because we usually get the superstar.
Right,
the Heat
right.
And the Lakers are
we've
probably
been on the wrong end of that too, though.
The Heat and the Lakers are probably the two teams that have benefited the most from tampering.
Oh, definitely. But I'll put it to you like this: it goes back to that last conversation we're having. There's a lot of Pat Riley all over that. There's sprinkles of him. Just look, man, you can circumvent these rules. Language, semantics.
It's either him or he's got a good lawyer.
All of it. I mean, he's tied got everything. In. He's a made man.
We got less than a minute in the meeting.
Oh shoot! All right, well. Yeah. Guys, appreciate you guys hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We had
appreciate
a really good time.
It, man. Absolutely. We had to do it again.
All right, sounds good.
Right. Take care.
All right, you guys take care, man.
Bye.
All right,
bye.
We'll see you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.